Praise God. Good to see everyone. Amen. One more time. In the house of the Lord, we are gathered. Didn't have to be this way. Amen. Some people were sure they were going to wake up this morning and they didn't. Amen. Some people thought they had everything under control and they didn't. But if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, amen, you have assurance. Blessed assurance, right? Jesus is mine and I'm His, amen. No matter what goes on in the world, I don't have to worry. In fact, He commanded me not to, didn't He? Amen. Well, I'm so excited to be here today to share with you the Word of God. God has been so good to me. And I think about the goodness of the Lord and how far He's brought me. Amen. He is a good God. Preach the word. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony today, celebrating God's goodness in my life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here today. Grateful for the love You showed us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for us, that we might have a new life, a gift of eternal life, being forgiven for sin, debt paid in full, Lord. That we may come and live as the sons and daughters of the living God through the grace and the mercy that You've bestowed upon us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You today for Your Holy Spirit who abides in us and whose presence we feel this morning, Lord. Inhabiting the praises of Your people, we're so grateful, Holy Spirit, for Your presence here. Now, Lord, we ask through the power of the Holy Spirit that the words that come forth today will stir the hearts of the people to action and love. And greater service for You, Lord, that we may do the things You have before us, Lord. For we have been called for such a time as this, Lord. We have been called to this very place to do something specific for You, Lord. Reveal it to our hearts, that we may do what You want us to do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. The scripture we're going to come from is from 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 5th chapter. Amen. 1 John. Amen. And the title of the message, I didn't quite understand it when God told me, but He said the title of the message is Friends. Friends. We sing the song, "There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus," don't we? No, not one. There's no friend like Him. But you know what? We always tell our young people, if you want to have friends, you need to be a friend, right? Yeah. So to know today that the Lord is telling us He's a great friend, and if we want to be like Him, we need to be great friends. Amen. Amen. We need to be what the Lord would have us to be. Well, before I get into the message, I'll just tell you a little bit about my testimony. I'll try to keep it short, but my birthday is tomorrow, and I'm grateful for that. And the Lord has allowed me to live 57 years. Amen. When I was first being born, the prognosis wasn't very good. People didn't know all the things they know now. So a lot of people expected very little from me. Amen. But God had a different plan. Amen. My mother was literally abandoned by my father, and really, she didn't know a whole lot about prenatal care. So everything she did, according to today's rules, would be absolutely wrong. You know, eating Argo starch and as a nutritional element of her diet, mainstay. And she also didn't have any visits to the doctor before I was born. So everyone thought, boy, this is not going to work out, and especially since his father was a heroin addict and dealer. Prospects looked pretty bad. But my mother, who read the Bible, said, "I'm going to dedicate this child, Lord. If You let me have it, I'll dedicate it to the Lord. I'll dedicate him to the Lord." And she did immediately upon her ability to do so. I was dedicated to the Lord for His work. And the Lord blessed us. I mean, it didn't seem like it at first. We were went from place to place. I think by the time I was five, I had lived in 11 different locations in the same city, sort of like gypsies and vagabonds and all these things. But God had a plan and a purpose, and I got to see God's hand at work. Amen. And I spent most of my time in church. We didn't have anywhere else to go. Amen. So it was good that they had services all the time, because basically that was all we had, right? Which is a good thing, right? And so I got baptized at the age of five, because I spent my time in church, right? And I was a choir director at the age of six. Amen. That's what we did. Sing, pray, go to church. But it was good. Kept me all out of all kinds of hurt, harm, and danger. Amen. I used to have my friends say to me, "Why do you go to church so much? I hate church. Why do you go?" I don't know. I'd go. I didn't know there was anything else to do, right? It was good. And I learned a lot of songs. And I liked to sing. And learned the people. I learned to listen carefully, because a lot of times people sang, I had no idea what they were saying. Had a lot of accents from the South. And boy, sometimes it's really hard to make those words out. And they never put the words up on the screen, so I had to listen intently. Was a gift the Lord gave me to listen. Amen. Gave me appreciation for my elders. Amen. Found out at an early age that a lot of people who were older had a lot of wisdom that they didn't learn in school. They didn't learn it from what they were teaching the present day. They learned it from the Bible. And I watched and observed that oftentimes when people thought they were crazy for what they were saying, what they said came out right. Because the word of God doesn't change, right? They had nowhere else to go. And I thought, well, Lord, this is good. And then the Lord blessed me to go to school and high school, directed my path, go to college, graduated from college, and then I figured, well, I must know it all now, right? God had been good. And I decided that God was good, and he still is good, but I had things I needed to do, so I'll check with you later, God. And God said, is that right? And God, in his grace and mercy, he only gave me just a brief time in my life where he sort of lifted his hand off me. All my life, his hand had been on me. All my life. What God had blessed me. Whatever I prayed for, he answered. If I needed protection, he protected me. But now I was grown. I was going to do my thing. God said, is that right? So let me just lift my hand off you just a little bit and see how you like that. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. But what the Lord was teaching me through his grace and mercy was now I had to come to the knowledge of submission to him. He was my Savior. I knew that. He was my deliverer. I knew that. I hadn't made him my Lord, though. He needed to be my Lord. He needed to be the one that I did whatever he said because I loved him, not because I understood, not because I thought it was right, but because he asked for it. And if I thought it would cause me harm or danger just because he asked me, that was no reason not to do it, because he was my Lord. And it took me a while, about 3 years, to come to an understanding and submit completely and say, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do. No conditions, no preconditions, no timetables. I'm yours because you brought me. So now I bring you to the current day. God is good. He blessed us. I'm so grateful for each one of my children. Amen. And my grandchildren. Kept us from all hurt, harm, and dangers, broke generational curses of addiction and all kinds of things like that. It was all God. We can take no credit for it. We're grateful that he was good to us. And our finances, the Lord did that. Amen. I'd like to tell you we were wise and frugal and all. No, that's not that's true. Made a lot of mistakes, but God was merciful. merciful. And he allowed us. One of the things I prayed for when I was a young man, I said, if I ever have children, Lord, because I'd moved so much, I never want to have them go through that, right? I said, Lord, if we have children, I'd like to have them grow up at least in one home. And so we're coming to the conclusion of that where the Lord blessed us to do that. Amen. Jen going away to college will be a fulfillment of that. Amen. And we're grateful that the Lord did that for us. So I share that testimony with you. And then the Lord blesses beyond measure because that's what he did for us. And then he blessed us with our church family. Amen. When we came here, amen, never in my life had I ever asked God to help me be a pastor. Never. I wasn't interested in being a pastor, and I told God, this is my early days of submission, I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I think I'm better suited to be an evangelist. Because evangelists go in and tell people what they're doing wrong and leave. So I'm going to go in, stir everything up, and then be gone. That's what I told God, and God said, is that right? Is that right? So I thank God for his mercy and his grace. I thank him for putting up with all my foolishness. Thank God for giving me the wife that I needed. Amen. Because Jane has been instrumental in my life. And amen. And we've been through a lot together. Amen. And I know I don't get all of everything right when I remember it, but I always remember that Jane was there. Amen. And it's quite a blessing for me. Now, that ties into what our message is, because the reason Jane and I are still together is because we were friends. Above all else, we were friends. Amen. And when things were rough in our relationship, it was the friendship that caused us to pray one for another. Amen. Even in my insane state of mind thinking I wanted to divorce her, it was her friendship. I wanted to be her friend, but I didn't want to be married to her. It's hard to explain. But I wanted what was best for her, and she wanted what was best for me, even though the relationship was rocky, because we were friends. And I think about that, and I think about how Jesus is our friend, right? And sometimes our relationship with Jesus is rocky because of our rebellion. Amen? Now, the difference between my relationship with Jane and Jesus' relationship with us is Jesus is always right. Amen. I wasn't. Amen. Amen. But Jesus is our friend. He's our friend. And he cares about us. Even when we mess up bad, he still wants us to come out on the good side of things. So turn, if you will, to John. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And in these two chapters, God, through his word, is telling us how we should live in such a way that we can live and be happy. And when things aren't going right, we can still trust in him. Amen. Amen. Well, 1 John 4, verse 1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to understand this. God usually, always tells us what to do, and then he tells us how to do it. He says, test the spirits, right? Well, how do I test the spirits? Well, simple test. He gives it right here. He says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. Amen. Amen. This is how you can recognize it. That's the Spirit of God. It recognizes Jesus come from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Amen. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple, right? So you hear somebody come to you, and or in your mind, it doesn't have to be somebody, but in your mind you figure, well, Jesus, he was just a man. He wasn't God. Well, that's not a spirit from God talking to you. That's the spirit of the world. You go to college, you go to classes on philosophy and theology, anything. I don't care where you are. But as soon as you hear somebody say that Jesus was just a man like any other man, you know that's not the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of man. In fact, they call it here the Spirit of the Antichrist, anything against the Anointed One. Amen. So this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Do we see that today? Oh, people will give credit to everything but the Lord, right? And they want to call out any name except the name of Jesus. But when the name of Jesus is called out, there is power. See, we can say ours with a smile on our face, and we can stand upright and call on the name of Jesus. When they start calling on their names, they have to sneak it in. I'm really worshiping Gaia, but we're going to call it Mother Earth. Huh? We're going to call it environmentalism. We'll give it some other name. We can't call it what it really is, but we call it Jesus. He is the Savior of the world, right? Well, isn't that awful narrow of you? Well, no. I think Jesus invites everyone to come. But there's only one way you can come through, right? He's the way. Amen? Jesus. Well, I'll go on here. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome those spirits, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Greater. Amen. Amen. You know, according to the world, everyone has major, major problems of some type. You have a fear, a phobia, psychological malfeasance, dysfunctional family. The answer is Jesus. Amen. And through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is in us, the Spirit of God, we have overcome the world. Amen. So we can wake up and praise God and not have a penny in the bank. Amen. Amen. We can wake up and praise God and have aches all over our body. Amen. Because we have a Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, who says to us, everything's going to be fine. There's something greater coming for you. What a friend. Amen. A friend. Hallelujah. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Sometimes when we're witnessing, I know from time to time I've felt this way, sometimes it's discouraging. You tell people things you know to be true, and they look at you like you're crazy, and they don't want to hear it. Yet they tell you you're wrong, the Bible's wrong, and they know something better. Shouldn't be discouraged. I mean, Jesus, our master, our teacher, he had the same experience, and he was the Son of God. And he would tell them how they could be free. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. He could say how they could be set free from demons. Oh, you're doing it by the power of demons. That's one of the great reasons Jesus is our friend. He knows what we go through. Amen. He's been tempted as we are tempted, right? But he didn't sin. Thank God for Jesus. He's our friend. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So when people don't listen to you, just pray for them. There's no reason for us to get upset or mad, is it? We have to remember there was a point in time where we didn't listen. I know there was a lady when Jane and I were married that prayed for us, and I thought she was the craziest lady. Was it Rose? Yeah, Rosa. She just prayed, and I said, this lady, she was a Pentecostal, and I'm like, these Pentecostals, they don't know anything. I'm enlightened. I'm enlightened, and she's over here praying for me. I need to help her understand what the truth is. She was very kind. We visited her from time to time. She's a good friend of Jane's. But she just said, well, I'll pray. She's not very forceful. I thank God for her prayers, right? But it also causes me to remember that there was a time where, man, I didn't want to hear about the power of the Holy Spirit and the sovereignty of God and God being my Lord. I knew God was real, but I was going to do my thing. And God was going to help me because I asked him. Huh? Hallelujah. This is now how we recognize the spirit of the truth and the spirit of falsehood. So there's the test, right? You hear people will hear about God, then the Spirit of God is in them. If they won't, it's not. If they tell you that Jesus is not the Son of God, he's just a man, it's not the Spirit of God. Pretty simple test, right? Jesus' name. So now we talk about love. Verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another. Let me read that again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Well, these scriptures really bothered me when I started submitting to the Lord. I wanted to be a Christian. I did. I liked being a Christian. It was pretty cool, I thought. You know, my understanding of it, I ask God for what I want. He gives me what I ask for. That's pretty good. Right? But I didn't understand the part about his sovereignty and serving him. I didn't quite get that. But then when this part came in about loving other people, I thought, man, this is going to be way, way too hard. Because, you know, in my mind, I had practiced it. I was going to be someone who didn't show emotions at all, let alone love. And loving other people was totally out of the question because people cause too many problems. Right? I didn't want to love nobody. If they didn't love me, that's fine. I didn't need them. Just do what you have to do. I do what I have to do and everything will be fine. Then I met Jane. And she showed a lot of compassion and love for people. I didn't understand it at all. Didn't understand it. She'd have friends. And her friends, I'm like, why is she friends with these people? They can't do anything for her. But she was friends. She was loyal. They'd get in trouble. She was still their friends. I'm like, man, I'd be gone. I don't even know them. But I saw that loyalty that she had, and then I started studying the Word, and I saw that Jesus was that way with us, right? I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't forsake me when I'm not the friend I should be to him. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't forsake me when I turn my back on him or deny him or deny the truth that I know. Amen. He's my friend. And he doesn't turn away from me. And the great thing about him being my friend is when I finally decide that I want to restore and renew my relationship with him, he's waiting with open arms, and he casts it into the sea of forgetfulness and doesn't keep bringing it up and saying, like last year, you remember when you walked out on me? Thank God for Jesus. He's my friend. Amen. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And I really struggle with that because all my life I've been saying, I don't want to show emotions. I don't want to love people because people hurt you and they break your heart and you find out that they've lied to you and all these other things. And yet God said, no, you've got to love them. Have love one for another. Amen.